Vance Havner once said, "It is better to die with conviction than to live with compromise."
Jesus called the church the light of the world. But let me ask you, when the world looks at the body of Christ, do you think that it can see that light? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger shows us some ways in which we hide our light from the very people who need it most. Now, we'll get started in just a few minutes, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, there's no question that for, well, better or worse, Christians are the light of the world. But I think many of our listeners may be wondering, is it really possible that by hiding our light, we can actually prevent someone from coming to faith in Jesus Christ?
Absolutely, Dave. Jesus has committed and commissioned us with the ministry of reconciliation. When Jesus went to the Father, he left his followers to do the work. Now, there's no other plan. If we don't let our light shine, we may hinder a person from ever coming to Christ.
What about the person who says, well, yes, I've made mistakes, but if people reject God because of my failures, well, that's their problem. How would you respond to a statement like that?
Well, I don't mean to be unkind, but that sounds like a lame excuse to try to avoid our responsibility. It really is scary and challenging to think that we will be held accountable to be faithful witnesses in the world. Now, if we claim to follow Christ, then we have to realize that we are called to be His witnesses and to let our light shine into this world.
Disobedience, apathy, selfishness. Just three of the ways that we hide our light from the world, sometimes without even knowing it. To hear more, let's now join Dwayne for his message, Letting Your Light Shine.
I want to talk just quickly with you, ways in which we hide our light. Here we go. It was introduced to us last week in the passage in 2 Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. We're not going to go back and read it again, but he mentioned arguing. One of the ways that we hide our light is when we argue. We argue with others, and it tarnishes the light. It puts it out. When people look at us when we argue, they just don't see light. They're not attracted to that. A boy once asked his father, "Dad, how do wars get started?" "Well," he said, "take World War I, for example. That got started when Germany invaded Belgium." Immediately, his wife interrupted and said, "Tell the boy the truth. It began because somebody was murdered." Well, the husband pulled up in his chair with an air of superiority and snapped back, "Are you answering the question or am I?" Have you ever said that? "Are you answering the question or am I?" Turning her back on him, she walked away out of the room and she huffed and she slammed the door. When the pictures on the wall and the dishes in the cupboard stopped rattling, there was an uneasy silence that followed. Then the son said, "Dad, you don't have to tell me anymore. I know." Arguing hides our light. We need to remember that we're to be light, so if we get into that feeling that we've got to defend ourselves, we've got to argue, recognize that we're putting our light out. A second way that we hide our light, complaining. Complaining. Oh, we complain about this, we complain about that. We complain that traffic's going too fast around us. Oh, they're going too slow. We complain. I mean, we could come up with a list as long as our arms. We are just like the Israelites. No matter how God provides, no matter how He takes care of us, there's always something we can come up with to complain about. I remember the story I read. It was an overseas situation where a tourist was taking a visit with the missionaries, and they went out to where the nationals would wash their clothes. Interestingly enough, in that situation, there was a spring of water, fresh water, that was coming out of the side of the hill, And right beside it was also a hot spring that came up from down deep in the ground. And they could wash in the hot water from that deep spring and then bring it right over and, you know, rinse it in the cool water. And the tourist was saying to the missionary, "Oh, I bet the people just love this, that this is great that God provides this hot and cold water right side by side." And the missionary looked back to the tourist that was visiting and said, "No, they're upset and they complain because he doesn't provide them soap." You see, we always come up with situations where we find reasons to complain. But that puts out our light. Let's make sure we're not putting out our light. A third way we put out our light: disobedience. Not living obediently, clean, or not making sure that our lives are innocent before God and holy. One Sunday morning after the service, the pastor was standing at the door. He was shaking hands with people. And as one man shook hands, he looked intently into the pastor's face. And he said, "Powerful sermon, Pastor. Thoughtful, well-researched, and put together. I can always see myself in your messages. And I want you to stop it." He was content with his disobedience. We need to let God stir us through pastors and preachers and Christian books and those kind of things. It's God's faithfulness and his mercy to us, because he knows that when we become content with disobedience, we're putting out his light. Amen, ouch. Another way we put out our light or hide it under a bushel: apathy. Apathy. Not holding on to God, not holding to his word, becoming careless in our church attendance, in our devotional lives, in our prayer times, Bible reading, giving, sort of just kind of go through the motions, but we become careless. Number 5, silence. Another way to put out our light is actually silence. In other words, being quiet when we should speak up. I found a quote that says, "When it comes to sharing Christ, many Christians are like the Arctic River, frozen over at the mouth." So, how about you? When there's an opportunity to speak up for Christ, to defend Christianity, to defend the church, to defend pastors, and defend what is right, are we frozen over at the mouth? Is our silence hiding our light? No, well, it's his light. Is our silence hiding his light? Another way we hide the light: complacency. Very close to apathy. It's again, going through the motions, going along with the crowd. Vance Havner once said, "It is better to die with conviction than to live with compromise." Amen. Let's be people of conviction. Let's make sure we're taking a stand. Because when we take a stand for what is right in God's word, we are in fact letting our light shine. Let there be no question in people's minds where we stand about issues. Another way we put out our light: selfishness. By focusing on ourselves, denying Christ, wanting what we want, not what he wants. Our selfishness, pursuing our own goals, can become a way that we put out his light. Number 8, worldliness. By letting worldly longings dim our light, we become so focused on the immediate, the temporal, that we don't have an eternal perspective. Worldliness can put out our light. 9, conformity. By simply adjusting to those around us instead of changing them. One businessman, he developed a strategy to increase his business. Now, business folks, I am not suggesting you do this, but it was pretty smart. One businessman developed a strategy to get more people to stop in at his store. He went and he bought a bunch of used cars and he parked them in front of his store and left a few empty spaces. And when people would be driving by, they'd see, "Well, man, there must be something going on in there." And they'd stop in and go in, and then they'd buy supplies and goods. I thought about, when I read that story, I thought, any of you see those garage sales? You're going up the road, and all of a sudden you come upon all these cars. What's your immediate reaction? Well, you guys, I know what your reaction is. Would they please get out of my way? But I know what the ladies are doing. Oh, I wonder what they have. Well, maybe not all of you. I wonder what they have. And especially if there's a whole bunch of cars there, right? I mean, if there's a whole bunch of cars there, you're going to for sure pull over or at least slow down and take a glance at what's there. And I'll occasionally slow down and I'll see all these cars. I'm like, man, there must be a lot of good things there. And as I slow down and look, many times it's just a few items out in the yard or on a table. But we think sometimes that the bigger the crowd, the better it must be, so we better go. Well, conformity can be a big hindrance to the light. Don't let that put your light out. You know, when you walk into a theater, when you first walk in to watch a movie, or you come in from the outside, you've been out in the sunlight, when you walk in, you know, there are times when it's like really dark. And you kind of look around, but as you stand there, what begins to happen to your eyes? They begin to adjust. And after a bit, you begin to look around and, well, you can see just fine. There is a deadly deception in conformity. We start making changes and instantly we begin to feel the darkness. But after a bit, it's okay. We just begin to adjust a little bit. And after a while, we think, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. I can see my own way fine. Thank you very little. Conformity can become a deathly way to put our light out. One more way that we hide our lamp under a bushel or a basket. Indifference. Indifference. By ignoring the needs of others around us. In Germany, they first came, this was a comment from Martin Niemöller. He was a German pastor. He was a victim of the Nazi concentration camp. And he said this, in Germany, they first came for the communists. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, but I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unions, but I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics. But I didn't speak up for the Catholics because I was a Protestant. Then they came for more and for me. And by that time, there was no one left to speak up with me. You see, our indifference can let everything be stripped and taken away from us until we alone are left. I am calling you, in light of that story that I just read, to recognize that we are facing in our own country a horrible situation unless we get rid of our indifference and begin to take our stand. Unless we begin to become the light that God calls us to be in our society and share our positions and the word with other people in our workplaces and our neighbors. I am fearful of the election this fall. I am fearful of what is going to happen to our country in the next couple of years. I am fearful about the privileges and rights of churches having their tax-free status taken away. I am fearful about the rights and privileges to teach the word that we now have, to declare sin as sin and righteousness as righteousness, that I, as a pastor of this church, potentially in just a few months, could be thrown into prison for preaching the word. That is where they are headed, very, very quickly. Friends and believers, we can no longer afford to be indifferent, because when we do, we are hiding our light. You see, I believe it is the very indifference, it is the issue of indifference that has allowed America to go to where we are. It has been stated over and over that there are more believers and there are more people who would stand on the side of righteousness and morality than there are who stand against it. But who's winning this battle? I remember what Henry Blackaby, when he said, if darkness is becoming darker, it is not the problem of the darkness. He said, if darkness is becoming darker, the problem is with the light. We're not shining. In other words, our light continues to be hidden under a bushel, and the light is going out, and we are suffering the ramifications. I am not just fearful for you and me. I am very fearful for our children and our grandchildren. And I know, and even in my own heart, there is a tendency sometimes to think, well, the Word says it's going to happen. Do you ever think that? Well, the Word says it's going to happen. We might just, well, bear up for the worst. But I believe God loves people. He is not willing that any should perish. And He's calling us to be light, to rescue the lost. I want you to imagine, Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Imagine with me, if you were in a dark, dark forest, and it was the darkest night, and as you're in that dark night, you remember you have a flashlight in your pocket, and you pull it out. Now, how much light is that going to show me in the darkest dark? Not very much. You can tell. We have some light here affecting the impact, but you'll get the result. If you have this little bit, well, there it's even dwindling. It's about going out. That's about how much battery power it had. In the dark world, I want to be more like this. Amen. How about you? Now, I want to tell you a little bit. You can bring the lights back up. I want to tell you something about this light. This light has no power of its own. This light spent the night plugged in to the power. Has a little tiny connection here. It's not very big. It stayed plugged into the wall, the power supply. All it had to do this morning was disconnect it and bring it here and go out into the darkness that we had just a few moments ago. And the power was there. The power is not in this itself. It's in what it got its supply from. And that is just how you and I have power when we go out into this dark world. We spend those times alone with God in His presence. And even though sometimes it seems small, He's going to pour into us the light. Remember His declaration? He is the light of the world.
At first, some may resent you for shining your light. They may cover their eyes or even close them altogether. But in the long run, most of them will be grateful for the vision that you have given to them. Now for some final thoughts, let's join Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Dwayne, you've given in your lesson today a rather extensive list of ways that we can hide the light. What might be the consequences for people around me if I don't do anything about this, if I just continue to allow these things to exist in my life?
Don, it's deadly. If we don't shine the light, these individuals are destined to destruction. There's a story I read of an accident that happened years ago that was directly related to light. It was an accident that killed several people in a train wreck. It was before there were red lights at train crossings, and a trainman, or a watchman, was responsible to wave a lantern when a train was coming. Now, in the trial, the trainman was asked if he was at the crossing when the accident occurred. He said yes. He asked if he was waving the lantern to warn of the danger of the oncoming train. Yes, he said. But after the trial was over, as the story goes, the watchman walked away and said, "Oh, I'm so glad they didn't ask me if my light was lit, because it had gone out." In other words, he was confessing or acknowledging the reality that those deaths were caused because his light wasn't shining. And I think that story is very applicable to the believer. Jesus is calling us to be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well now, Dwayne, that brings up a point here. Jesus is calling us. Didn't Jesus say that He Himself is the light of the world?
He did. As a matter of fact, in John 8, verse 12, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then we see that John, in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, he confirmed the reality that Jesus was the light. But then we have to recognize that Jesus calls us to be the light. He's installing us to be that light. And I refer to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, where he says, "You are the light of the world." And so there he's conferring on us the responsibility of letting our light shine.
You know, and although Jesus doesn't actually use the term light in what we refer to as the Great Commission, when he instructs us as his disciples to go out and spread the news, in a sense, that's what he was saying, go out and be my light in the world. We need to represent the light of Christ to the people around us. One of the things that we're focusing on this month is our mission outreach into Romania. And it's interesting, with the theme of your message today, the name of our program in Romania is From Darkness to Light. And truly, we're there doing what we can to share the gospel and to lead people from darkness into the light of Christ. We've started working there in Romania in 1997 with an organization called My Brother's Keeper. Started first broadcasting on one station in Romania. We're up to five now. And I want to share something. Many people don't realize that the airwaves are not as free in some of these countries as they are here in the U.S. For example, we do have regulations on how stations can operate here. But for the most part, most of us can or live within an area where we can probably listen to Christian radio broadcasting just about 24 hours a day, sometimes having a choice of two or three stations to listen to. Now, one of the radio stations that we're on in Suceava, it's the city of Suceava, it's a part of the Voice of the Gospel network in Romania, has only had permission up to this point to broadcast 2 hours a day. Now, we've just had some extremely exciting news from Romania, from our partners there, that this station has now received permission to increase the strength of their signal and to expand it to 12 hours a day.
Oh, that's good news.
That is good news. Now, in order to do that, they're going to need to upgrade their facility. Now, we are basically a broadcaster. We provide them with programming and we provide them with funds for airtime. But we'd like to also be able to assist them in this process. So they need to purchase some additional property. They need to build a new antenna, which can handle the upgrade in power that they're looking at. They need equipment. They need computers. They need recording equipment to set up a studio, because now they're going to have 12 hours to fill instead of two.
That's quite a change.
It is. It's quite a change. It's a challenge. And unfortunately for people in Romania, that's a huge obstacle in terms of finances. And that's something where we feel we can help. And so we are looking to be able to come alongside them, not just in producing our program for them to fill airtime with, but also helping them to build and develop a larger studio to be able to accomplish their goal of putting up this large antenna that's going to reach out even further. And more people through this are going to be introduced to the light of Christ.
The great thing about radio is that it can often succeed where other means of evangelism fail. It's a little less invasive, and people can turn it on or off at their leisure. You know, we have a narrow window of opportunity in Romania to increase our listening audience. To find out how you can help, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. And when you call, remember, a copy of today's lesson, Letting Your Light Shine, is available for a gift of any size. Call today and ask for program number 0445. Or write to us at the Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of today's program for a gift of any size. For information about the Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Today, we have talked about hiding our light, and on our next program, we'll talk more about how to shine it. So come and join us next week for the conclusion of Letting Your Light Shine. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning into The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.